Seems like it's just getting sweeter and sweeter every day to hear them. And the reason is we're getting closer than we've ever been before. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of John. The book of John. Whoa. Amen. Still working out the kinks of the new board. I'll pray for Brother Jeremy. He, you know, a sound guy never gets all the kinks worked out. Amen. I think when he first started getting some of that stuff set up, they said, "When are you going to get it?" He's like, "Never." We're just always improving, amen. And I'm thankful, man. It's sounding better than it ever has. And thankful for the radio station. Unshackled will start tomorrow. It'll be at 3 o'clock every day, 3 and 11. And so if you're up at 11 o'clock at night, get off of Facebook and listen to Unshackled. And it'll be on 3 and 11. Brother Carter's church is on there twice a week as well. Do you remember what days? I think it's Mondays and Thursdays at 5 o'clock, I think, is what time it comes on. Brother Carter's on there preaching, and man, that's good. I always enjoy hearing him preach. And so the radio station has been a tremendous blessing. And so, but Unshackled, I'm excited about that program. It'll be on starting tomorrow. It'll be Monday through Friday, I think, at 3 o'clock. Is that right, brother? It's... All right. We'll see. If it's at 11, you need to be here, not listening to Bible radio. All right, John chapter 19, if you would. I'm going to do the best I can not to be too long. And I know we do have a baptism and a fellowship today. And I pray that everybody's planning on staying. Man, church fellowship is so important. And it's very, very important, especially in these last days. And so I pray that you can stay in fellowship, be a part of the church, and be a part of the fellowship today for a few hours. And always good food, and any of the adults who want to get out in the bouncy house. The big obstacle course, man, I tell you, it's big enough for even an adult to go through it. And I know that because there was two going through it yesterday, and they kept going through it. Amen? And so I won't tell you their names, Brother Stephen and Brother Jim. We're having a blast. All right, John chapter 19 and verse number 5. We're going to look at two verses, and I hope you can stay with me throughout this message. If you don't, I'll be by myself, but I'll do it anyway. Man, the Lord laid this on my heart heavy the last few days, and man, He's worthy. And He's worthy. We've sang these songs about heaven. We sang these songs about seeing Him. And I tell you, we need to see Him in the hour that we're in. We need to see Him, and I'm going to be preaching along those lines here this morning. John chapter 19 and verse number 5, if you're there, say amen. We find here the story of Christ being brought before Pilate, and I'm not going to go over all of the story for sake of time here in the introduction, but we find Christ before Pilate, and there in the first few verses, they place this crown of thorns upon his head, and they put on a purple robe, and begin in verse 3, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. And verse number 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." That's right after they get done planting the crown of thorns on his head and putting the robe on him, and they're doing that in mockery of him being a king, because he claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so in mockery, they place this crown on his head, and they put this robe on him. And Pilate one more time says, "Behold," which means to look at, to fix your eyes upon. And he says, "Behold, take a look at him." He said, "I find no fault in him." In verse number 4, "I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." In verse 5, "Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man." You say, how do you know he said it like that? Because there's an exclamation mark at the end of it. He brought forth Jesus and he said, "Behold the man." And I tell you, he is the man. Jesus was not effeminate, amen. He was the man's man. He brought him forth and said, "Behold the man." That word "behold," it means to fix the eyes upon, to see with attention, to observe with care. And two times he tells these people to behold Jesus Christ. He tells them to look upon him. The first time was to behold him. He said, I want you to look at this man wearing this crown and wearing this robe, and I want you to know that I find no fault in him. And I want to tell you this morning that all these years later, I still find no fault in him. I still don't see any blemish in him. And he's still the man. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he might not be your king, but he's my king. And he said, "Behold the man." Look with me in verse number 26 of the same chapter. We find here the crucifixion of Christ throughout this entire chapter. We find the crucifixion of Christ. In verse number 26, Jesus is here, and the mother of Jesus is here, Mary the wife of Cleopas, Mary Magdalene, these three Marys. Verse number 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples. Now that disciple was John the Baptist. He was the only one that stood there during this time. The disciple standing by whom he loved. He saith unto his mother, again with an exclamation mark, "Woman, behold thy son." Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the one that birthed him through a virgin birth. He looked down at her and said, "Woman, behold thy son." Regardless of what anybody else say, Mary had to have her sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, just like everybody else did. "Behold thy son." Two times in this chapter we find people drawing attention, and Jesus even drawing attention to himself. And he says, "Behold." And he wants us this morning, he wanted them to fix their eyes upon him. That word "behold" is found 1,326 times in Scripture, in 1,275 verses, over and over again. They're not all in reference to Christ, but there's a whole lot of reference to "behold" talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wanted those people to see him for who he was. And Pilate found no fault, and as I just said, I have found no fault in him. And I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on "behold him." Behold him. And I'm telling you, we're living in a dark day spiritually. We're living in a wicked time in this world. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody in here knows this, but I want to remind you this morning, I know it's bad out there. I know it's wicked out there. I know that times are dark, but we have people that are saved, they're going to heaven, and they've got their eyes more on what's going on in Hollywood, they've got their eyes more on what's going on in the White House and all over the world than they do on him. And all these things that were going on during Jesus' day, I'm telling you, Pilate told everybody, "Look at him." Jesus said, "Look at me." And I want to remind you this morning that we need to behold him. We need to fix our eyes upon him. We find all through Scripture, and there's not time to preach all these illustrations, but we find the times in Scripture where people took their eyes off of him. You remember the story of Peter walking on the water. Whenever he stopped beholding him is when he began to sink. We have people today that are in Bible-believing churches that are beginning to sink in the muck and the mire of all the trash going on that's on the internet and on social media. It's because they've taken their eyes off of him. There's a fine line between foolish and stupidity and faith. There is a line there. But I'm telling you what, I want to get off the line and be in the faith part and trust him. Amen? And just trust him. I'm telling you, everything that's going on right now has not taken Jesus by surprise. COVID never took him by surprise. Man, the whole world was shook when COVID came out. I remember flying back from Australia. One of the first cases they came out with, they said, was in Australia. And we flew from Australia. And Brother Ellis said, man, this thing's going to be bad. He said, I hope we can make it home. They were already starting to cancel flights out of some of the Asian countries. And we flew into Hawaii. And when we got off the plane in Hawaii, there was thousands of Asians all wearing masks. And Brother Ellis said, Lord, what are we going to do? I mean, they were everywhere. And they were all masked up. And Hawaii was one of the few places that was still funneling people through. And so we get off, and man, everybody everywhere was scared. They didn't know what to think. But I want to tell you, Jesus not one time said, what are we going to do about this? Not one time did he ever do that. There was pastors last year that had to make difficult decisions for the good of their people. And I don't blame them either direction that they went. They have to answer to God for that. And I tell you what, the ones that made decisions, hopefully they prayed and got the mind of Christ on it. They had to keep a good testimony in the community. There's all these things that had to be thought about. Sometimes people get mad at the preacher for making a decision, but why don't you walk in his shoes for a few minutes? That's a lot of people to be responsible for. But God, some preachers were probably worried. I even at times said, what do I do? I called some men and said, what do you think? Well, hey, we ought to pray about this. But God never one time was worried about it. He never one time fretted about it. And as time goes on, this thing, the world seems to be falling apart. Afghanistan's falling apart. Israel's falling apart. They got a new prime minister now. All these things are changing all over the world. We have a new president. All these things, but God, I want to tell you, one time has not worried about it. So what are you saying? Behold him. Behold him. There's all this stuff with the vaccines and all these things. And man, people asking me, what should I do? What should I not do? Man, you pray about it. But I'm telling you, all this stuff is issuing in what's going to be the mark of the beast. There's people right now that are taking the barcode or the QR code. The QR code has replaced the barcode. The QR code having it tattooed on their forearm. And that scan, when they scan it, it tells them they had a vaccine. They're already doing that. I read an article the other day where some people up north somewhere, they were all having it tattooed on their arm so that when they go to the bar, they require you have a vaccination before you go in the bar, that they can just scan it and go right in. Now, I don't know how they're going to update that QR code every time a new shot comes out in 6 months. But that's happening right now. And I'm not saying that that is the mark, but it's leading to it. And these people that are having that tattooed on there, they're not going to have one problem at all to have another QR code tattooed right on their arm with the mark of the beast. All this is being issued in. But I'm telling you right now, God is not taken off guard by this. Not one bit is he taken off. He wrote the book. You ever heard the saying, he wrote the book on it? God wrote the book on what's happening right now. He told us this would happen. He told us what's to come. So Christian, this morning, don't fret. It's actually a little bit exciting what's going on. We have family that we care about. I've got children. There's things that naturally a human's going to worry about. But I want to encourage you to behold him. Just look at him. Keep your eyes on him. He's not worried about it. He's not fretting about it. He wrote the book on it. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And if you get in your book, you'll know what's going to happen. The things that are playing out in Israel and the things that are playing out, all these things are written in the book. We know they're coming. Amen? Behold him. Behold him. Joe Biden doesn't have a clue what's going on. He doesn't even know what's going on in his own party. Doesn't have a clue. God does. God knows exactly what's going on. And I believe with all my heart that God's going to take the church out of here before the tribulation begins. I know there's a lot of people that don't believe that, and that's fine. Believe whatever you want to believe. But there's a great doctrinal dilemma if you believe that we're going to be here through the tribulation. And that is the thing of eternal security. The Bible said if you take the mark or the name, you're going to go to hell. And I can't go to hell.
I can't, man. I believe that I'm saved. I've been born again. Eternal security. And everybody, I've heard people argue it, and they make this statement. They say, if you're saved, you won't take it. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. Nowhere in the book of James, nowhere in the book of Hebrews or Revelation does it say that you won't take it if you're saved. You know what it tells the believer? Don't take it. The book of James is written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Historically, it's written to those that were scattered after the stoning of Stephen. Doctrinally, it's going to be written to those that are scattered during the tribulation. These are people that are saved during that time period. They're believers during that time period, after the church is gone. And he tells them, don't take the mark. Amen? That's a dilemma for me. Because if I'm going through the tribulation, if I take the mark, I'm going to heaven. But how's God going to work that one out? Because he said, if I'm saved, I have eternal security right now. Amen? But if I'm in the tribulation, I take the mark, I'm going to hell. Well, which one's right? The truth is, we're getting out of here. I believe that with all my heart. There's so many pictures and signs in the Bible, all through even the Old Testament, that shows the church getting out of here. And I believe that, man. I don't think God's going to put me in a dilemma with eternal security and taking the mark. You say, if you're saved, you won't do it. You try holding your two-year-old baby that hasn't eaten. Tell me what you wouldn't do for them. There's going to be people faced with that decision. If you're not saved, get saved today. Because it'd be a whole lot better than waiting then. But I want to encourage you this morning, behold him. I haven't even started preaching the message yet. I'm trying to get you to see we need to behold him. If you'll follow with me just for a few minutes. I got about 12. Follow me for just a second and let's behold him. I want to say, first of all, behold him from the start. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, high and lifted up. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And he ought to be lifted up. And from the very beginning of creation, God used Jesus to create everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God used him in creation. The Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, what are you getting at? I'm saying everything's bad. Yes, the world's fallen completely apart. People have lost their ever-loving mind. There's Christians that have lost their mind. I want to encourage you, look at him. All the way back in the beginning, he created the heaven and earth. He made everything. So what are you saying? He can take care of you. Man, have you ever looked at creation? Pause for a minute and get out of your phone and look at what God did. And when you see the heavens and you see the creation of God and you see even a little butterfly and you see a baby that's born, you know that there's a God in heaven, there's a creator, and I'm telling you, he can take care of whatever you're going through. He'll take his children all the way through to the end. Behold him. Behold him from the start. Behold him from the seers. Does anybody know what a seer is? What is it? It's a prophet. And I'm trying to be homiletical. Behold him in the prophets. All the prophets talked about a man coming. All the prophets tried to point to a man. I mean, they pointed to a man named Jesus who was to come to take away the sin. Amen. They pointed to him all through the Old Testament. They said, look at him. Behold him. Fix your eyes upon him. They didn't fully understand what they were talking about till later, when Scripture was finally revealed and completed. But man, I tell you what, they lifted him up. They said, behold him. All through the Scriptures, it's about him. A church that's going to please God is going to be all about him. Amen. It won't be about you. And it won't be about me. You know why any problem arises in a church? Any problem. Any attitude that arises in a church is out of somebody that took their eyes off of him and put them on themselves. You hurt my feelings. You offended me. You didn't talk to me. Well, I didn't realize that White Oak Independent Baptist Church was all about you.
Amen.
It's about him.
Amen.
Who cares?
Amen.
Amen. I know you won't hear this at any other church. And we do care about you. Thank you so much for coming. Appreciate our visitors being here. We love you. Please come back. Sister Carter, thank you all for being here. But this thing that's going on here is not about y'all. You know what they did? They lifted him up. They were a part of our corporate worship to lift him up. And we see him from the start. We see him in the seers. We see him all throughout scriptures. We see him in a stable. Man, we see him in a stable. When I got verses for all these, I'm running out of time. The angel showed up to Mary and said, "Behold." All these things. I got verses where somebody showed up and said, "Behold." You know what that means? To fix your eyes upon. Behold him in the stable. Born of a virgin. I believed he was virgin born. If you have something besides a King James Bible, you don't believe that because it said Joseph was his father. Amen. I believe that he was born of a virgin. Behold him there in the stable. He was born to die. He came to be born of a virgin. He came to be born there in the stable so that he could take away the sin of the world.
Amen.
Behold him in the stable. Not only that, but behold him in the sanctuary. When he was 12 years old, he sat in the sanctuary teaching all these rabbis and prophets. All these people sitting in there at 12 years old. Amen. What 12-year-olds do we have today that are teaching Scripture? Amen? All they know is video games. We need to come up, we need to invent replacement thumbs. People won't need to have knees replaced. They won't need to have shoulders replaced. They don't need to have any other body parts replaced because they don't do anything other than work their thumbs on a video game. Amen? Jesus Christ at 12 years old, man, he the Bible said he grew in favor with God and man. You say, well, he was God. Yeah, but he was all man also. Behold him there in the stable. Behold him serving. His whole earthly ministry, he's serving people. You say, what are you getting at with all this? And some of y'all, I'm losing you. Hopefully I'm not boring you. I'm trying to show you this morning that he's been there, he's done that, he's been through all these things. Just look at him and what we're going through today, he'll take care of you. Behold him serving. Behold him in the storm. Man, you remember the story when they're on that boat? They are falling apart. My Bible tells me that Jesus was asleep on a pillow. Now, why would the scripture need to go to the effort of telling us that he was sleeping on a pillow? I mean, all through scripture, people fall asleep. And it doesn't say that they were asleep on a pillow. You know what that means to me, Brother Isaac? He was sleeping good. I am not sleeping as good as I am on my pillow. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. That's telling me that he was asleep. And it was telling me that he wasn't worried. He was out on, I mean, he wasn't just sleeping on a board. He was on a pillow. He was out cold. He's out sleeping. The storm's there. It's going on. And they were falling apart on that boat. We got people in churches today, they're slap falling apart. I mean, they're fretting. I mean, you can walk into an average Wednesday night prayer meeting and listen to all the prayer requests. And you want to say, do they know the same God that I know? Do they know the same God? Jesus was on the boat, and he was sleeping. Do you think he would have let anything happen to them? They were fretting. They were scared to death. You know, God's so good, though, that even when you get to that position in your life where you're scared and you're fretting, because that happens sometimes, where he will wake up and do something miraculous in your life just to show you that he's still in charge. He could have kept sleeping on that, and he told them, get in the boat, we're going to the other side. That was a promise from God that we're going over there. He could have stayed sleeping, the boat would have rocked, the storm would have happened, and they would have showed up on the other side because God already promised it would happen. He already promised. You know, he promised he's coming back for us. He promised we're going to the other side. But yet people are falling apart completely in their mind and in their life and fretting because they don't know if we're going to make it. He promised we're going to the other side. But just like those sailors on that boat who were seasoned sailors that were falling apart and fretting, Jesus woke up and did a miracle just for them. And you know, I've seen God do that in my life. And you, some of y'all have seen God do that in your life. Where He'll just wake up for a few minutes and just do something miraculous for you so that you know He's still in charge and that He'll help you. Man, thank God for those moments where He just shows Himself to us. Where He says, "Behold me." He told Mary, "Behold thy son." Amen. Jesus wants to do that for you today. Behold Him. We see Him in the storm. We see Him as our sacrifice. All from beginning all the way to the end, behold Him. He died on that old rugged cross for you and for me. He shed His blood, the crown of thorns that was placed on Him, the robe that was put on Him. He is our sacrifice. You remember that saying there in John. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold Him. Look at Him as our sacrifice. Behold Him in the sepulcher. He was there 3 days and three nights. And I want you to look at Him in that sepulcher because His body was there. But I tell you, His soul went down to hell for you and I. And the Bible said that He got a hold of the keys of death and hell while He was down there. Behold His body in the sepulcher. But while His body was there for 3 days and three nights, He was defeating death, hell, and the grave. Whatever you're going through, you've never had to defeat death, hell, and the grave. You've never had to take all three of those on. I don't have to, though. He did. Behold Him. Behold the empty sepulcher. He came up from the grave. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. All that was introduction. Don't get scared. I'm almost finished. I want to encourage you this morning, just behold Him. Just look at Him. I'm not trying to belittle whatever trouble you have, but I'm trying to magnify Christ so big that you can know He'll take care of whatever you're going through. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 20. I want you to behold Him today from the start. Behold Him in Scriptures. Behold Him through the eyes of the seers. Behold Him in the stable and in the sanctuary. Behold Him serving. Behold Him in the storm. Behold Him as our sacrifice. Behold Him as He resurfaced. Amen. The resurrection. Next of all, I'd like to say, behold Him seated. And here's what I'm going to sit on for just a second, and then we'll be done. Behold Him seated. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 20. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible said, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Don't turn there for sake of time, but Colossians 3, 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Quickly. Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to behold Him sitting. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse number 3. The Bible said, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins. What does it say? Sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 1. Quickly. Same book. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 1. Can y'all see Him sitting down? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 8 verse number 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Two chapters over. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, one time paid for sins. You don't have to get saved over and over and over again. My book says for one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Two more chapters over. He said, Brother Andrew, we get the picture. I don't think you do. There's more verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking, that's what we're talking about this morning. Behold him. Set your eyes on him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to say this morning that Jesus Christ has earned the right to sit down. I mean, you think about a nice hard day's work. It's nice to be able to sit down. And Jesus Christ, all the way from the beginning, we see him in creation. We see him through Scripture. We see him that was born of a virgin. And he's there as a child, a teaching. We see him in the sepulcher. We see him as a sacrifice. And now he's sitting down. He has earned the right to sit down. Have any of you ever worked a job and you wish you could sit down and couldn't? Especially when the boss is looking. Amen. You better be standing. Jesus Christ, he earned the right to sit down at the right hand of the Father. You know, sitting down, the moment he sat down, that pictures and it tells us that something was finished. Amen? When you get done with a nice day's hard work and you get home and you want to sit down in the recliner and you want to have a nice cold glass of lemonade, or a nice good cold glass of water, you sit down. That is a sign that you finished the hard day work. Jesus Christ earned that. When he sat down, it was signifying, it was picturing the words that he spoke on Calvary. It is finished. When he sat down, he was telling you that all the work is done. He took care of it all. He completed that for you and I. And he sat down at the right hand of the Father. The work is finished. Now it's time for rest and sitting. But wait a minute. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. Jesus Christ earned the right to sit down. The work is finished. Every work that needed to be done is finished. People try to create life out of nothing. You can't do it. The work's already been finished. Anything that's created was created by God, and you can't create anything new. People that say that they've created life from a test tube or something, they had to take something that God already made. That part is finished. We'll have a new heaven and new earth, and that'll be God himself that does that as well. Jesus earned the right to sit. But I also see Jesus doing something else here in Revelation chapter 3. I see him standing back up. Why is Revelation chapter 3? He's earned the right to sit. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 20. If you're there, say amen. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, the Bible said, what does it say, church? Behold! What does it say? Fix your eyes upon him. Behold, he's not sitting. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. I want to say this morning, I see Jesus in all these places in Scripture, and then I see him sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. But in July of 1995, Jesus stood back up for me. I find him standing once again. He's earned the right to sit down. But now I find him here standing for a lost soul. I'm talking about the creator of the heaven and earth stood back up for you. And I want to tell you, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, he is standing this morning for you. He is knocking at your heart's door. He doesn't have to stand. He's earned the right to sit. He's earned the right to stay sitting. But I'm telling you, I find him here standing and knocking on the heart's door. If there's anybody here this morning that's never trusted you as, or never trusted Christ as your Savior, he's standing there for you. He stood for me. Has he stood for you? Amen. The Bible said here, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even I also overcame and to sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He's standing. I find him standing for the sinner. And he's standing for you so that you can sit down and have rest. He did it all for you and I. And he sat down, but he stood back up so that you can have rest and sit back down. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. I find him standing in Revelation chapter 3 so that you could sit. So that you could have rest. I hope throughout this whole message, behold him, you understand that I'm trying to get you to see that he did it so that you don't have to. Whatever it is you're going through today, if you're lost, you need to get saved. He did it for you. He paid your price. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He paid the price for you. And if you're saved in here, why are you up worrying about everything going on? He took care of everything. And he promised that he'd take care of you. Look what we find here in Ephesians chapter 2. You're there, say amen. I'm almost finished. But God, who is rich in mercy, in verse number 4. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to what? Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you see where Jesus stood up for you so that you could be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus so you could have rest? So why are we not trusting in him? The world's falling apart. The churches are falling apart. But guess what? My Bible tells me churches are going to fall apart. It said that in the last days, that there's going to be some perilous times that come, and it's talking about the church. Men are going to be lovers of themselves, unthankful, unholy, blasphemers. That's going on right now. The church would fall into apostasy. We come to a time where the Bible said they will not endure sound doctrine. We're there. There's people that will come sit in a church like this, and they'll get up and leave and never come back. Why? They're not going to put up with it. We've had people come and say, man, I used to hear this kind of preaching when I was a kid. I love this. Man, this is wonderful. Hey, praise the Lord. I found this church. And I never see them ever again. They like the idea of it, but they're not going to put up with it. Why fall apart? The Bible said it would happen. Every time that happens, the scripture's fulfilled. Revelation chapter 3. I got two more passages and I'm done. Revelation chapter 3. Jesus Christ stood so that we could sit. We find in Ephesians where he does that for the church. And those that go through the tribulation time period, he does it for them as well. Amen. Look what it says here, 3:21-22. Y'all there with me?
Amen.
To him that overcometh. That means they're going to have to overcome some things. But look at this. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He came to be everything we need him to be. He created everything, heaven and earth. He went through all these things. He was born from a virgin, and he served, and he calmed the storm, and he went through everything. He went through the cross, and he went to hell for you and I, and sat down on the right hand of the throne, and he did that for us. We find him standing once again for us for salvation. But you know, he's going to stand one more time. You know, I have another picture that I don't even have time to preach this morning, but Stephen, whenever he's dying and he's being stoned, he looked up and saw Jesus standing ready to receive him. I believe when a saint of God dies, you ever been to a veterans parade or something and the veterans come by or they have a moment to recognize somebody that had died and people will stand? I find in Scripture when Stephen died, Jesus Christ stood up. Can you imagine the creator of the heaven and earth that died for your sins? That it appears this saint of God that's passing away, Jesus stands in honor of that person that's dying for him. A martyr for the cause of Christ, and Christ stands up in reverence of that. That's humbling. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. I see him from the start. I see him in Scripture. I see him through the eyes of the seers. I see him. Behold him in the stable. Behold him in the sanctuary. Behold him serving. Behold him stilling the storm. Behold him as our sacrifice. Behold him in the sepulcher. Behold him seated. Behold him standing. And I want to say here this, I want you to behold him in the second coming. He's coming back, church. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. The Bible said, and I saw heaven open. And what does it say? Behold, fix your eyes upon him. Behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and in his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth forth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Behold him! Turn it up, Brother Roman. Listen to this song. Behold him. Look upon him.
Who has felt the nails?
I don't know what it is this morning. God told me to preach this message, what you might be going through.
But I'm telling you,
there might be some people here this morning that need to come down here this morning. Just thank him for who he is. Thank him for saving them. Hey, I don't know. I'm going to tell you, there's trouble everywhere. Why don't you just behold him?
Now to reign.
Why don't you just behold him?
Behold our God.
Behold our God.
Seated on his
seated
throne.
On his throne.
Come, let us adore him.
Him. Come, let us
behold
worship him.
He's
worthy.
Behold
our King.
Nothing can compare.
Nothing can compare.
Come, let us adore.
Shall reign forever.
him this morning.
There's
nothing in this world that can compare to him. He's going to play that one more time. There's still people praying. I don't know. Like I said, God laid this message on my heart. And all I want to do is encourage you this morning to behold him. Just fix your eyes upon him. COVID's not going anywhere. It's here to stay. All these things that are happening, they're here to stay. The Bible told us these things would happen. Would you just behold him this morning? There might be somebody here that's not saved. You've never been born again. It's not in church membership. We're about to have a baptism. It's not in water baptism. That's a picture of what takes place on the inside the moment somebody gets saved. If you're not saved in here this morning, would you take a step to the front here? Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Anybody like that at all? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody looking around. Anybody here this morning say, "Preacher, I'm not saved." Anybody like that at all? Just raise your hand. Hey, God's coming back soon. Hell's a long time to spend.